So I kind of have been hearing that it affects how people look at node-positive disease. But to get into that, let's talk about Taylor X, and we'll kind of come back to node-positive. Mm-hmm. But maybe you can kind of walk us through basically the background of Taylor X, the major findings that were presented, and what you think it means in terms of taking care of patients.
Since the year 2000, as most of you remember, a guideline came through that anybody with 1 centimeter and above breast cancer, ER positive, needed to get chemotherapy because of the relative benefit that one would get in decreasing risk of recurrence and obviously some impact in survival by doing that. So it became obvious over time that not quite everybody really seemed to need chemotherapy, because when we make decisions about what adjuvant therapy needs to be given, it's not just about anatomical findings. Tumor biology probably is a lot more important than the anatomical findings in determining who's going to have a recurrence and whatnot. With the advent of genomic signatures such as recurrence score and others, it became clear that prognostically, some patients seem to do really well with endocrine therapies alone. So the recurrence score signature is a good example where retrospective analysis of two very large trials comparing endocrine therapy plus minus chemotherapy in women that are at pre and postmenopausal, obviously with a big predominance of postmenopausal women participating in the trials because of the epidemiology of breast cancer in general. It became clear that the signature such as recurrence score was very useful in determining patients that with lymph node negative disease and tumors between 1 and 5 centimeters really seem to be okay with endocrine therapy alone without needing chemotherapy. However, because of the way the signature is presented, where depending on how high of a score one gets, which that score is essentially a mathematical translation of how high the grade is, how much expression of ER and PR, if there's any expression of HER2 whatsoever, that translates into a mathematical formula that spills out the score, what I like to call now the olden days, between 0 and 11 was considered low score, equaling a low risk of recurrence, provided the patient took 5 years of endocrine therapy. In this case, within the retrospective data, tamoxifen was the endocrine therapy of use. For scores above 31 that were called a high score, also translating to a high risk of recurrence, which pretty much told us that endocrine therapy was probably not enough. And based on the NSABP-B20 data, we also realized that chemotherapy was helpful. So there was a predictive value of using chemotherapy in the high-risk score category as well. But the big question became what to do with the women in the intermediate score range between 18 and 31, where we really didn't know if chemotherapy was necessary or not. Even clinically, a lot of us struggle before the signatures were available with what to do with patients that didn't have big tumors but had lower grades and really seemed to have a more indolent tumor. And potentially, clinically, we may have chosen to forego chemotherapy in somebody who was postmenopausal and older. But nevertheless, the question was important because I think it became pretty clear with the retrospective data that we really could potentially spare more women if we knew what to do with the intermediate score, which was the brunt of the score that you'd get once you test women and in general.